When darkness comes upon you and covers you with fear and shame, be still and know that I'm with you and I will say your name. If terror falls upon your bed and sleep
from yesterday. I sat in this building and was interviewed many, many moons ago to be the pastor of the church. And I was talking with somebody, a young dude down in Salina, and he asked me after 18 years if I am still motivated, still inspired. And I said, I am. It's just my direction has changed a little bit. And I said, we are going to be spending 2018 at Jennings Road redefining our purpose, redefining who we are and who we're meant to be and what God is calling us to do. And so our entire focus for this year is community. Community inside these four walls and community outside the four walls. And to do that, we're going to go back to the Gospels and we're going to work our way through all the way to the end of the year, where if God continues to bug me about it, we're going to look at the book of 1 Timothy. And that's an annoying book. I just want to warn you, but I think that's coming at the end of the year. But to prove to you that God has a sense of humor, we are going to work our way through the Gospels to the cross when Jesus dies to Easter. Anybody know what date Easter is this year? April Fool's Day. Now tell me that's not awesome. Tell me that doesn't fit Jennings Road. It's almost like he's, you know what, I'm going to give him one after 18 years. That is just perfect for us. So get ready, because that day is going to be crazy with April Fool's Day and Easter together. Now, as we recover from the holidays, was it a happy holidays? Was it a merry Christmas? When you had all that family together and you all came together and you realize there's a reason I only want these people together once a year. Was it a fantastic time? Or were you glad to see them go? Right? And I think sometimes it's a combination of the two. family, when we get used to each other, when we're around each other all the time, we can begin to grate on each other. And that's a difficult thing because we're called to be a church family, right? I love the story about the 14-year-old girl and the 8-year-old girl, sisters, who both got picked to be in the church play leading up to Christmas. The 14-year-old got picked to be Mary. And the 8-year-old got picked to be an angel. And the 8-year-old didn't like it. She thought she should get to play Mary. And they began arguing about it and fighting about it and at the supper table and before bedtime and when they got up in the morning before they went to... And it just, they argued about it all the time. And finally the 14-year-old said, fine, to the 8-year-old, you go and ask Mom which role is harder, because Mom has told me it's harder to be a virgin than it is an angel. I think it's funny. And we get in family and we argue and we ruin the very thing that we claimed we were excited about. Merry Christmas! Oh, I'm glad that's over. And we think it's about family time. And we watch Hallmark movies, which we're still watching at my house. And did you see Hallmark has announced they're doing summer romance series? Yay! You know, and it just... There's so many things, and we think it's all about family, and then it's just blah. So let me ask you this question. Do you and I parent differently than we did before we became believers? Do you treat your parents the same way that you did before you became a Christian? You treat your employees the same way, your boss the same way, your spouse the same way, your classmates, your teammates, your coaches? Do you still have the same attitudes that you used to have? Because that's a problem. One of the biggest challenges that we face, or I face in church leadership, is baptizing people, and the only thing that changes is their clothes, because they go in dry, come out wet. But attitudes are hard to change. Right? But what's the scripture say about it? Well, my grandma always said, I don't care what your grandma has to say. I like grandmas. Okay? I'm dating one. I understand that. I appreciate that. But man, these family traditions and these family attitudes that we have can go against what scripture says. And so we literally need an attitude adjustment. And will affect our actions if we're truly going to impact our community. So a lot of what we're going to do here early is we're literally going to define what is a Christian. Are you a Christian because you come to church? Because you own a Bible? Are you a follower of Jesus? If somebody called you a disciple of Jesus, would that bug you? Would you even know what it means? What if somebody called you a Jesus freak, which was popular when we were growing up? Would you want to be known as a Jesus freak? You're like, I don't want to be known as that. But what if we were able to define it in such a way that you were able to impact the people around you because you're living the life that Jesus really expects you to lead, and it has so much more to do than just church attendance. So to do it, we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of Jesus being on earth. We already talked about him being born. Let's follow the story, and you're going to see that he expects one thing from us and one thing alone if we're really going to impact our community the way he wants us to. To find out what that one thing is, let's open our Bibles. For the first time in 2018, I have not screwed up a check yet this year because my wife will not let me touch a checkbook. So I have a perfect streak going. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 12. And we're going to begin in prison, of all places, because that is a lot of times what we get stuck in, metaphorically, if you will, We get stuck in these prisons in our minds and our attitudes that we got to get free from. And I want you to see what Jesus does with it. Verse 12, Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he bolted. He withdrew to Galilee. Now, you know who John is, right? Jesus' relative. We've been told our lives he's a cousin. We don't know that. But he is a relation to Jesus, right? And his relation is in prison. And a lot of us are used to having relations in prison, right? We're in jail, or maybe we ourselves have been there. And when Jesus hears it, the guy that baptized him, the guy that prepared the way for him, the guy that would scream in the wilderness, "All I'm doing is preparing the way for the one that is coming after me, the one that you need to follow." And John ticks off the king, and it's just a mess for poor John. When Jesus hears the word that John has been arrested and thrown in prison, it ruins his life. He was fine, right where he was. He had just come off a great temptation battle with the devil. He was fine. And Jesus hears word that John has been arrested. And do you know what he does? You see what he does? He runs back home. Cannot wait to get back to Galilee. He withdrew to Galilee, it says. Even Jesus needed a safe space. Right? He needed a place that he called home, that when the word of prison comes around, he was able to run there and feel safe, to find comfort. This church better be a safe place for people whose lives have been turned upside down. Their family's a mess. Things are chaotic. They're confusing. And he was able to run home. Now, understand this. Jesus is coming off of being tempted by the devil. We're used to talking about the three temptations. It was really only one in three different ways. He doesn't want Jesus going to the cross. He's got to get him off target. He's got to get him distracted. He's got to get him confused. He's got to get him away. All temptation is in our life is to keep us from going to the cross. All of it. It didn't work. So if he can't hit Jesus, he's going to hit family. And that tears us up, doesn't it? When our family is a mess and we feel like we're trapped in this prison of just chaos. So Jesus runs home. But I do want you to notice that he doesn't stay there. Look at the verse. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. But you're about to see the first word of verse 13 is leaving. A lot of times in our life, when things are chaotic, we want to run to a safe place and withdraw, as Jesus does, and then stay there. We don't grow. We don't learn. We don't change. We don't become better. We stay there because we think we're safe. And we build up these emotional walls, a prison, if you will, when all we do is constantly withdraw and withdraw and withdraw. Now listen, we can fake it great. How's it going? Awesome. How about you? Great. Liars. And he withdraws. And we have the tendency to stay there. If you do, you will be stuck in an emotional prison and you will hate this place because I'll be the annoying guy that comes and says you got to knock down those walls. You got to resist the temptation to stay in your broken place. So look at verse 13. He makes a move, and the thing that I want you to see in verse 13 through 16, he does it because of people. Because when we tend to withdraw, we want to stay away from people. Jesus does the opposite. Verse 13, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum. What? which is by the lake in an area of whatever those things are. Lake life, right? 14, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. So he's fulfilling Old Testament prophecy by moving. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Verse 16. What's the next word? People. Interesting. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. If you mark in your Bible, please circle, highlight, underline, whatever, that first word in verse 13. If it's like my Bible, it's leaving. Leaving. That's hard, especially if you deal with depression at all, and you're stuck in that little prison of depression, that emotional prison with all those walls. You got to leave. You got to break out. You have to leave where you are. We like to be comfortable, but if we truly want to impact the community in and out of this building, you got to leave stuff behind. He left home. He left the comfort of the emotional, quote-unquote, safety behind. And sometimes to be healthy, we have to leave things behind. My wife wants me to be healthy this year. As I'm wearing a pizza party shirt, she wants me to be healthy. To be healthy, do you know what I have to do? Leave things behind, right? Do you know what I want? Moon pies. I love moon pies. Me and Al eat them all the time. Al loves a moon pie. Al tried a moon pie and it changed his life. Is that not true, Al? You took one bite, right? You took one bite and it changed your life. He hated it. Oh my gosh, he hated it. All right? He needs Jesus. Pray for Al. You see, it changed his life. She wants me to be healthy. I know that I have to leave things behind. You know what's more comfortable? Cereal at 10:30 at night. Yeah, it is. Right? Skim milk. Right, thanks. You met my dad. You know, it's if I want colored water, I'll do that. So, you know, I got to leave stuff behind if I want to be healthy. And that's hard when it comes to our emotions and our spiritual growth. There's some attitudes and actions we have to leave behind, but it's scary when we have built our little prison of safety and security and comfort. And he left home. He moved from Convoy to Wren. Who cares? What are those towns? Why in the world would he leave home to go to some lakeside place? Because of what we read in verse 16, the people. There are people there that need to meet Jesus. By the way, we're going to talk about it next week. Do you know who he meets? Some guy named Peter. If he stays home, if he doesn't leave home, he never meets Peter. He never changes the world. Peter never goes on to change the world and be my hero in the New Testament. He had to break out of that safety, that comfort zone of his, so that he could impact people. You don't even know the person you might have an impact on this year. If you are willing to break out and move in the direction that God wants you to move in, you don't know the people that you'll be able to impact. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. And man, there are people that live in darkness in this church and outside it. And the only way we're going to introduce them to Jesus is to move from our comfort zones. I love that. Now, here's the thing, verse 17. We, like Jesus, are going to have to preach. Our lives, our attitudes, our actions are going to have to preach. And I want you to see this great, super long sermon that Jesus began to preach. You see how long it is? Not very. Verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Emmanuel, God with it, he continues the story of his birth. God is near. God is on the move. We love to preach about that. Dopes like me love to get up and scream about it, and we go, "Hallelujah," and then we go eat lunch. But it doesn't change us. That is not the message that Jesus had. To truly experience God on the move, what do we have to do first? Repent. Do a 180. The direction we think is right versus the direction that God thinks is right. We have to repent. And if you, as a Christian believer, don't think that you no longer have anything to repent of, you're at the wrong church. And I would encourage you to open your heart to what God is leading, but you're not going to be happy this year the deeper we go, because I am going to throw this word in your face and mine. You remember me saying I was really uncomfortable as I began to unpack all this stuff? Well, here's why. Repentance means looking in the mirror and understanding that we are not as cool as we think we are. And man, I want to be a part of a church that repents. Don't you? That seeks God's grace versus our own comfort. It's going to hurt. I just want to warn you now. It's going to hurt. But we've got to begin with that word. Are you ready to leave the junk behind? To go where God needs you to be to impact people that are living in darkness? The only way you can get ready is by repenting. Let us decide today that Jennings Road will be known as a church that repents. Let's stand together and sing our closing song. It's a great time for you to repent. Repent to God, repent to each other, send a text, make a phone call, whatever it may be, you know, Twitter, face, whatever you got to do. Repent.
If morning ends.
still, be still, be still.
This morning that you would walk beside us, go before us, protect us from behind. We sang the words about forgetting the way we should go. I don't want to be a church that has forgotten the way we should go. Help us to see you clearly. Help us to know that when we repent and grace comes upon us, that we can forgive like we've been forgiven. And our lives can change to impact our community. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.